Home prices just keep falling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. For most cities, home price news out today wasn't very good. The Case-Shiller Index fell 0.2% in August, and 15 out of 20 cities showed a decline in home values. The National Transportation Safety Board today convened a panel looking at safety implications of code-sharing agreements between big airlines and smaller ones. Six of the last fatal airline crashes in this country involved smaller regional carriers, and that's raised questions about how airlines book passengers with other carriers. Seth Kaplan runs Airline Weekly. He's with us live from Cairo, Egypt this morning. Hi, Seth.
Good morning, Steve. What's
the difference between the way large and regional carriers operate?
Well, the large carriers sell the tickets, and sometimes they carry you themselves on the larger jets that we fly between New York and Los Angeles, for example, or ones that we fly internationally. But sometimes they contract out the flights to these smaller regional carriers. And you know, when you're on a regional jet, you know, with 50 seats or 70
seats. It's the smaller ones, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, in terms of safety, I mean, ostensibly, there's no difference between the two. They have the same standards. In reality, some of the criticism of regional airlines is that their pilots do tend to have less experience. They earn less money, which means that maybe they live a little bit far from work, and maybe they're a little bit more tired when they get to work.
I want to talk, Seth, and I hate to interrupt you, but the Continental CEO last June said his airline doesn't have the resources to oversee safety at all of its partners, its code-sharing partners, that it's the responsibility of the FAA. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. What does the FAA have to say about that?
Well, you know, technically, he's correct. I mean, you know, the FAA is who oversees safety, but economically speaking, for the airlines, obviously they have a real interest in making sure that their passengers are being carried safely. Because when that turboprop that was operated by a regional went down outside Buffalo, you know, everybody read in the newspaper that these were Continental passengers.
But it was a regional airline that actually went down.
So there's a real incentive for the mainlines, to make sure that they are safe.
Seth Kaplan from Airline Weekly, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The S&P off just a tad. The NASDAQ higher now, about 0.2%. The Dow down 6 points, 11,157. And Ford reported today its sixth straight quarterly profit. The company says it's going to hire 1,200 new workers in Michigan with tax incentives, perhaps. Global markets right now are lower.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. By Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At AllyBank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai has admitted government officials have received bags of cash from Iran. Washington is suspicious of what Afghanistan is calling international aid, the BBC's John Lyon reports.
Following the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, the United States famously sent $12 billion in cash to Iraq. The money, shrink-wrapped bundles of $100 bills, was loaded on pallets and flown in on C-130 military transports. In the case of Afghanistan, it's more a question of who gave the money, to whom, for what. President Karzai says it was used to maintain the presidential palace and run his office.
We are grateful for the Iranian help in this regard. The United States is doing the same thing. They are providing cash to some of our offices. If you'd like to have the details, we'll give you that too.
The problem for Washington is that it's very uneasy about increasing Iranian influence in Afghanistan. It's one thing to see Iran building roads and schools in the west of Afghanistan, as it is quite openly. But this looked to Washington like a rather more underhand way, literally, to buy political influence. In Cairo, I'm the BBC's John Lyon for Marketplace.
This week, we're looking at jobs. And today, jobs that are dwindling because natural resources are just not plentiful. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Adrian Hill reports on one industry that's drying up.
On the loading dock of the San Pedro Fish Market in Southern California, commercial fisherman Pete Ansich and sports fisherman Greg Watson talk about the lack of a future for their industry.
can't get any apprentice anymore. Nobody wants to do it.
We're a dying breed.
Tony Vitovich is an old-timer. The retired fisherman sits out on the dock watching the few boats that come in. I ask him how today's fishing compares.
It's garbage. It's nothing, really, nothing.
They all tell me there used to be tons of fish out here. A hard-working fisherman could make a good living. Now they say fuel costs are up and the catch is down. These days, the government says fishermen make about $28,000 a year. Some make a lot less. Greg Watson is converting his 1933 fishing boat into a reggae boat for tourists.
I enjoy fishing. It's what I've done all my life. But you got to be practical. It's time for changes, you know.
He let his own son go, telling him it was time to find other work. The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates the fishing industry will shrink 8% in the next 8 years. As fish stocks fall, quotas kick in, and pesticides and fertilizers build up in the oceans. Paul Greenberg is the author of For Fish, The Future of the Last Wild Food. I ask him if fishing is sustainable.
Well, it is, and it has been, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's really the ramp-up of industrial fishing that happened after the Second World War that has turned it into an unsustainable career.
He imagines a whole different world of fishing, where fishermen catch wild fish using hooks and lines and cut out wholesalers by selling directly to customers, the way small-scale farmers do in farmers' markets. That could help solve overfishing, but, says Greenberg, there's still the pollution problem.
The pollution issues are much more systemic, much more deeply woven into the complicated economic fabric of the country.
He says it's easier to regulate fishermen than it is to go after the pesticide and fertilizer industries. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, Italian unions are fuming over comments made by Fiat CEO Sergio Marchionne. He said the company could make much more money if it were not operating in Italy. Union and government officials say Fiat's forgetting something, though. It was Italian taxpayers who helped the company through the economic downturn by giving it a little something. And they say they're a little disappointed by Marchionne's comments. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The future of the job market can be tough to predict, but the experts do agree on one thing: the skills the next generation is going to need to be successful.
This is becoming a borderless global workplace. Children born today will spend part of their lives abroad if they are successful professionals, in the same way their parents moved to different states.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the job market of tomorrow, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.